Once again, if you were tuning in to hear a conversation with Supervisor Belia Ramos, there was a scheduling mix-up, and that happens now and then. People are busy. We will try and reschedule. We will talk as soon as we can about county issues. I will relate, however, right here, some of the comments that came from you, the listeners, in regard to my, in response to my Facebook post. I said, if you were me, what questions would you ask? Some of these are germane, some are not so much. Kelly said, how can locals get involved with the creating of the next 20-year plan? I would be referencing general plan update, which, of course, the city of Napa is engaged in currently. I honestly don't know when the county general plan is set for an update. Scott Sedgley, Napa City Council member, candidate for mayor, asked, are there housing opportunities on Napa State Hospital property? I don't know, but I think maybe Scott knows the answer to that, actually. It would have been an interesting one to converse about. You ever think about, in terms of the growth of the community and so forth, that some things are sort of the elephant in the room once in a while, and it kind of feels like the Napa State Hospital property is one of those. Come on in. Supervisor Rump can't come in. Okay. All right, security system's working, keeping the riffraff and the troublemakers out. Supervisor Ramos joining us now in studio. Sorry about the confusion and the mix-up.
Oh, no worries, no worries. Happy we were able to work it out after my weekly donut run and dropping off all three of my kids for their first day of school today.
Yeah, okay. Today's first day?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. We shouldn't have scheduled it for today.
That's okay.
So hard, isn't it? The modern story. So I was just relating. I offered on Facebook for folks to say, what would you ask if you were interviewing Supervisor Ramos? Scott Sedgley weighed in and said, are there housing opportunities on Napa State Hospital property? So how about that? Just plunge right into something.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that is it's important to decipher, because it's near and dear to everyone's heart, is what that property line is between Skyline and Napa State. And Skyline is part of that Napa State area that is owned by the state of California. But as far as the Napa State goes, do I think there's housing potential? Absolutely, but I think that this is where we have to come together from a city, county, and the state to look at what parts of those lands can be deemed surplus for purposes of housing. But we also need to look at the livability and the walkability of those neighborhoods, not just simply to put housing in some vacant part of land. We have to place housing for it to be meaningful, where there is access to services. And so that's something that we continuously look at the county. But as Governor Newsom has said, you know, it's time to take a hard look at these state lands and surplus lands and see if this is a way in which we can not get ourselves out of our housing crisis, but at least make some headway and look at things differently.
Mm-hmm. Getting the state to make a surplus lands designation is a complicated, time-consuming process, isn't it?
Absolutely. Even at the county level, we surplused our former Napa County fairgrounds, and yesterday we signed it over to the city of Calistoga, and we've been talking about that since I got here. So it certainly is a long process in the surplus lands, and that was not even a redesignation of uses, right? So that's where we really need to be at the table and look at what's the vision that we have, what are the services that we're meaningfully able to deliver, and what's the sustainability of housing in those locations. And that also is going to involve discussion with schools.
Mm-hmm. Here's another question that came from listeners and via Facebook. Heather Stanton asked this question. Why not create RV parks for employed residents who can't afford to pay minimal space rent and RV rentals subsidized with limited occupancy, like 6 months to a year? She says an acre could support 200 plus units, all much less expensive than building apartments.
Yes, so it would be less expensive to be able to throw down some RV or manufactured homes. But we've got to look at quality of life issues. So first of all, we have our CEQA limitations. If we are going to be housing people there, we really need to make sure we have the proper water and sewer hookups. Again, we also need to look at what is the quality of life and the impact overall. I think as our housing, our RENA allocation, that's our regional housing needs assessment, comes down and hands us what I expect to be a shocking number to us this next cycle, we're going to have to look at things differently. But before we jump there, you know, we've got some policies on the books that are not being readily utilized, like our accessory dwelling units and our junior dwelling units, which in fact don't increase the square footage of an existing building, but allow for an additional housing unit to be in place. I'll give you an example. My house has a 3-car garage plus a bonus room in the garage. That is the type of house that could, in fact, support an accessory dwelling unit and could house another family. I just have to figure out my construction costs for being able to do that. But that's certainly something that's on my mind, and I hope that others will continue to think about how can they be helping the cities and the county, because we're all in this together, we're too small to not be in it together, to help all of us create more meaningful housing opportunities. You know, in American Canyon, it's very interesting, we have larger homes, but we have multi-generations living in those homes. So it's almost like a de facto accessory dwelling unit with the master suites downstairs in some of those houses. We all need to start thinking about that as well, but I think everything is on the table. And we need to look at our zoning carefully, and we need to look at the intensification of our zoning in those urbanized areas.
Mm-hmm. I often think every time we talk about housing issues, just driving down any residential street, imagining how many of those 3-2s or 4-2s have one person living in them, older person typically, or even an older couple, who would probably be happier in 1,200 square feet and somebody else in that big rambling house to take care of everything. You know, that seems like it's very challenging because it's personal choice and it's private property and it's home value and it's equity. But
accessory dwelling units actually are a really, they're going to be able to provide a new culture in aging in place. If you think about someone who is an older adult that wants to age in place at home, but does need someone to take out the trash, does need someone to yeah, handle the landscaping, mm-hmm, accessory dwelling units might be the way. So for those that are listening and they want to explore it, reach out to the Housing Authority, City of Napa, that has all the information for our accessory dwelling units. There are loan programs available to be able to make some of those adjustments and see if you can add a housing unit to the city or to the county.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the RENA housing allocation, and I think you said it's going to be a shocking number.
It is.
And that's partly because we have a housing crisis, and Governor Newsom has made it pretty clear he's not going to take no for an answer from communities like ours. And yet he knows what Napa Valley is all about. He's had businesses here. He's very acquainted with the Ag Preserve and everything. What will your approach be when that big number comes through and they're asking for who knows how many hundreds of units? The county has been saying for years, we don't have any place to put units. We have to put them in the existing urban areas.
Well, this is where we've all got to play nice in the sandbox. We are not going to be able to shoulder the burden that we are expecting from the Association of Area Governments through that housing allocation number without being at the table with our city partners. We've done this before. Much of the housing that you see is more on the affordable side or on the more moderate side has been through city and county partnerships. We have the new senior housing that came online on Natalie Lane in American Canyon, city and county partnership. We got some housing credit for that. We have the Redwood ownership project with the city. The county came in with money, and we've got some credit for that. And then we've got the Napa Pipe Agreement, which is going to give a substantial amount of housing credit to the county with annexation into the city, now that we've worked through our legislative and policy hurdles that we had. We can't do it alone, and it's going to require us to be at the table together to really take a hard look at what the quality of life means here for all of us in the county of Napa. We don't get to see these hillsides, and we don't get to see this greenery just by county policy alone. It's with the cities having the same commitment to our agricultural preserve and our agricultural heritage that will allow us to be able to move forward, but to also carry our own load. When we think about the amount of jobs that the county of Napa, and I'm saying the county, which includes the municipalities, imports each and every day, we've got to do better by our housing. And it's tough. I'm not going to say it's not. We are a place that has zero desire to have our city's boundaries touch. That's a good thing. I want that for my children. I want those green places in between of the cities. I don't want urbanization all the way, everyone touching. But we also need to take a hard look at diversifying our housing stock, not just the apartments and the houses, but going back to those duplexes, those condominiums, those live-work scenarios. We've got to really look at mixed use, where we have storefront on bottom and housing on top. It's all on the table, and there are some policies through the Association of Area Government, like priority development areas, that are going to incentivize us to do that. And we have two of those, what are called PDAs, in the county of Napa.
Not a public display of affection, just FYI.
No, it's not a public display of affection.
We're talking with County Supervisor Belia Ramos and covering a few questions that came in from listeners. Before we move on, what do you think that number might be, the RENA number, when it comes? Do you have a guess?
I don't right now, but I can tell you that all our discussions at our executive board meetings have been, hold on, because if you look at the jobs, housing imbalance, and we're in the nine Bay Area counties, and the nine Bay Area counties have to be part of that solution. That includes us. So the woes of Santa Clara and San Mateo have all of a sudden become ours as well. There are importer counties, and those importer counties, are of which we're one of them at a smaller scale, but we're a jobs importer county. We're going to have to make some changes.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard for years, maybe we should just say goodbye to Bay Area-wide regional planning, just opt out and just go it alone, take whatever financial penalties come with that, and then you can control your destiny in a place like Napa. What do you think about that?
No, I think that we are certainly different, and if I had a dollar for every time I have said at an ABAG meeting, but we're Napa and we're rural and I'm not like the rest of you. And it doesn't come from a place of fear, but it comes from a place of advocacy, of everyone comes here for what we are, and we're not an urbanized area, and we're as rural as it gets in this part of California. And we need to value that, but we also need to be at the table, because we're also a job creator. Our primary industry in agriculture is the economic engine that keeps this place going. We're a job creator, and we need to be at the table to find those housing solutions for all of our employees.
Mm-hmm. Here's another question from Facebook. Mary Luros asks,
of course,
when are we going to get our Costco?
Really, Mary? Really?
I had the same reaction to that.
Well, you know,
And then that's followed by Tracy Crumpen's What About a Skating Rink?
Okay, so, let's go with Costco.
Everybody's in a good mood,
you know,
this morning.
Things are moving literally with Napa Pipe. We had excavation and grading that's happening, and that's a great thing to be able to say that this project is making headway. There are some changes in terms of phasing that will require the city and county to be at the table together, I'll say this: I am hopeful that it is sooner rather than later, because that takes trips off of Highway 29 going through American Canyon. So, Mary, yeah, we'll be talking.
Okay. Now, more to the point in current responses, I just got a ha-ha from Mary.
Oh, nice.
Alicia asking, and Alicia.
Oh, wait, skating rink. I didn't answer the skating rink.
Yes. Okay, here, listen closely, everybody.
Skating rink. You know what? I think that one of the things that we need to look at is how we do recreation and what that means. With housing and the intensification of housing, it's going to require us to look at recreation and the ways in which we recreate in a different way. So looking at the sports complex idea that has come forward through Andy Eliopoulos and a few others, we need to take a hard look at what are our options in terms of creating more recreational opportunities, not just for us, but also as a diversification for economics here. Skating, I go to places like in Rohnert Park, and I go to Vacaville, and I sit there and I kind of, you know, throw a little toddler fit, and I'm like, why can't we have this? Well, we can. It's just a matter of priorities and what we value, and really getting at the table again, all of us talking together of where's the best place to put this, and how do we balance that with our ever-growing need for housing?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to look at how some of those other towns laid out their cities to begin with. If you ever notice where the city limits of Fairfield are, you know, that could grow to be like Los Angeles if it happened, right? Napa didn't do that, so it's very hard to fit skating rinks and things like that in. Here's one on yesterday's cannabis issue.
Of course, I knew that one was coming.
Alicia, who's in the cannabis business, has been a guest on our show. Why are the Supes forcing a relatively complete cannabis ordinance into a ballot measure?
So, this is where you take five people and you put them all behind the same the table, the dais, and you get different viewpoints. What I can say is, yes, the initiative was placed on the ballot because we had two options: adoption of the initiative through ordinance or send it to the ballot. But I would submit that there is a third option, and that third option will be in answering Alicia's question now. The third option is we can do better than what's on that initiative language. Part of what makes this place special is the careful attention to land use policies and a measured approach in which we have development occur, and I say development in general of our land uses itself. There are many parts of the initiative in formulating my questions for the 9111 report, which we received yesterday, that have me concerned. Some of them that I do not believe can be sufficiently addressed through a conditional use permit process. There would be no limitation on the number of cultivation permits through this initiative if we adopted it. The size would be limited to 1 acre parcels, or to 1 acre within a 1 acre planted within a parcel. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the 9111 report, that has a potential of 660 grows essentially throughout the county. Now, are they all going to be utilized? No, we know that. But the difference between a best case scenario and a worst case scenario is too wide to allow for meaningful governance and guidance through policies. It would be my hope, through my request yesterday, it's coming back as a future agendized item, to be able to look at whether there is a compromise ordinance that can be reached. The compromise would help us address some of the omissions of the initiative. When we look at setbacks and co-locations, when we look at what's happening in the airport industrial area and what would be allowed in the airport industrial area, this initiative, as it's written right now, in my opinion, does not allow us to provide the balance needed to create a coexisting agricultural crop with our primary industry. I do believe everyone needs to play by the same set of rules, and there are some parts of the initiative that are silent that could use refinement, that could get us to a place where we could have, we could honor the wishes of voters through access. Do I believe we need access? Absolutely. Absolutely. The voters clearly voted in favor of access. But this initiative is far more about cultivation and less about access. So I'm definitely interested in flipping that hierarchy around and to really value what our constituency voted for and to make sure that this works for Napa and that it's sustainable.
Last question. I think if I read the story right, there's only about 90 days you'd have to consider this to come up with that alternate hybrid ordinance.
Yes.
So can it be done in that time?
So one of my colleagues said he did not think so. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead and say optimistically, yes, I do believe so. I have no choice here, Barry, but to try. We are elected as supervisors to make decisions of land use, not to punt it over to the voters. So I believe in the next 90 days, it's my job to at least try. Now, if I can't count to three, and depending on the land use changes in specific areas, I'm gonna need to count to four. Now, if I can't count to four, three or four, depending on what needs to happen, I'll be okay with saying at least I tried, but my intention of bringing a future agendized item yesterday was to say, I need to try. This is my elected capacity. And every time an initiative, I said this before with Measure C, anytime an initiative of land use shows up on the ballot, that's chipping away at my job description. It's my job to take this on and at least try. And if I can't in 90 days, then it is my job to allow the voters to decide on the initiative process through our democratic election process.
Well, we've run out of time, but I look forward to talking more with you about that if and when it gets some traction, and we'll hear what that hybrid ordinance might be down the road a piece.
Absolutely.
Thank you for battling through this morning, the first day of school and all that. Glad we got a chance to talk for a while, and we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you so much, Barry, for having me.
County Supervisor Belia Ramos, and that's going to wrap things up. We're running a little over time on today's Wine Country Live. Stand by, though, because Lee Miller is coming up next here on KVON, and I'll talk to you tomorrow starting at 6 a.m.
At Napa Valley College, we're more than classrooms and laboratories.
We are hospitality, cooking, and culinary.
We are photography and ceramics.
We are theater, music, art, and dance.
We are basketball, volleyball, and swimming.
We are community.
Find your passion. Find your future here.
Late start credit and community education classes are available now through November.
Review these classes and much more at napavalley.edu.
Ah, 'tis the season.
Festival season?
Nope.
Back to school season?
Not that either.
Football season?
Well, yes, but no. It's car buying season. At